Hello and welcome to 10-4. My name's Drew Robbins. In this episode of 10-4, we are going to be doing something a little bit different. We're going to be highlighting a vendor who has a tool that's included in Visual Studio 2010. That vendor is Preemptive, and their tool is called Dotfuscator. Now, this tool has been included in the past versions of Visual Studio. What's new in Visual Studio 2010, that in addition to being able to obfuscate your code, they're also providing functionality around gathering runtime intelligence. And so basically what you're able to do is to instrument your application so that it can gather information at runtime from either a user's desktop, or if it's a web application deployed out on the web or out in the cloud, you're able to gather this information about how your application is being used, and then use that information to make your application better or to provide the right support for customers. So without further ado, I'll just turn it over to Gabriel at Preemptive to show you this tool.
Hi, I'm Gabriel Torok, CEO of Preemptive Solutions. You may already be familiar with Dotfuscator as the code protection tool that ships inside Visual Studio, but don't touch that browser. This video has absolutely nothing to do with obfuscation. The Visual Studio 2010 Dotfuscator goes well beyond protecting code to provide application instrumentation and essential hooks for privacy and opt-in controls. For the first time, developers have the building blocks to monitor software usage, performance, and stability without the burden of dealing with log files or additional programming. Combined with Visual Studio 2010's extensibility framework, this runtime intelligence can, for the first time, be surfaced inside the developer, architect's, and tester's experience. Whether you are using the Agile, Lean, or Waterfall methodologies, knowing how your software is being used today leads straight to building better software tomorrow. As you are about to see, it takes only a few minutes to generate runtime intelligence data and integrate it back into your development process. Sebastian Holtz, Preemptive CMO, is going to drive the demo. Sebastian?
Thank you, Gabriel. We're inside the Visual Studio 2010 code editor running on Windows 7, and we're editing an application called Witty. The first thing we're going to want to add is the Using Preemptive Attributes namespace. And now we're ready to add attributes at both the assembly and method levels of our code. Starting at the assembly level, we move to the startup method inside our application, where we add the setup attribute. This gives Dotfuscator the basic information it's going to need to inject monitoring logic post-build. Now, with Dotfuscator, a developer can use custom attributes or, as an alternative, extended attributes. Extended and custom attributes are equivalent in every way, except extended attributes are stored in an XML configuration file. So custom attributes self-document your code, and extended attributes require no change to source code whatsoever. You can choose and combine these as you like, and to illustrate, we'll switch over to extended attributes now. To add extended attributes, open the Tools menu and select Dotfuscator Software Services Community Edition, and now there's no touching source code. Select the input assembly you want to work on, Witty, and then under Configuration Options, we'll disable renaming and enable instrumentation. Drilling down into Options, we'll enable sending runtime messages, shelf life activation, and tamper alerts, and we'll explain these capabilities in a moment. Notice also that Dotfuscator will automatically embed all of this logic into your assemblies. There are never additional DLLs for you to track or to ship. Now, switching back to the Attributes tab, we're going to add our assembly level attributes. The first assembly attribute is the business attribute, and it will uniquely identify your organization. We provide a GUID generator as a simplifier here, or you can generate your own. We can also add an optional company name for readability, and then the next assembly level attribute is the application attribute. Now, this will uniquely identify this particular application family within your company's broader portfolio of applications. As a best practice, you should use this same GUID value throughout the life of an application, because a consistent name will obviously make tracking different versions of that application and configurations much easier. The application name and version properties are only required here inside Silverlight applications. Otherwise, if name and version are not set here, then we'll reflect over your assembly at runtime and pull it out of the .NET metadata. The application type can be used to identify application flavors. For example, this would make comparing an ASP.NET front-end experience to a Silverlight experience over the same core application very easy to do, even across application versions. For session information, we want to identify the entry and exit points in our application. In our case, the entry point is the onStartup method. Right-click on that method and choose Setup. In the Community Edition, all you need to specify is where you want your runtime data signals to be sent. You have two options. You can specify your own endpoint, or you can select a Community Edition version of Preemptive's Runtime Intelligence Service Portal. Here, baseline analytics are available for sandbox testing. Users of our commercial Docuscaler suite have the option of selecting the Commercial Runtime Intelligence Portal for a true applications analytics service. Your application will be transmitting standard SOAP packets, so you can write your own web service to listen for these and then process the signals as you like. Here, we'll select the Community Edition of the Runtime Intelligence Services Portal. The second property is the opt-in source. Here is where you specify the argument, field, property, or even a call to a method inside your code, and then Docuscaler will inject a callback. If, upon checking, there is a valid opt-in value, information will be transmitted to the endpoint that you selected. If the value is opt-out or any other value, the monitoring logic is never even initiated. Our approach here is designed to support opt-in dialogues in every flavor of assembly, from a Windows service to Silverlight. Lastly, we add a teardown attribute at the exit point of our application, the onClosed method. At this point, we can gather information including each time this application is run, if it ended normally, and also general runtime stack and high-level performance data.
In a few short minutes, Sebastian has taken an existing application and set it up for application monitoring. A few important points that are worth repeating here. First, application monitoring is completely distinct from obfuscation. Any code can be instrumented with or without obfuscation. Second, developers have the choice as to whether they want to decorate their code with custom attributes or work entirely post-build on assemblies with extended attributes. And lastly, Docuscaler includes an extensible framework to support diverse and evolving privacy and opt-in requirements. This is one of the critical features that distinguishes runtime intelligence from network monitoring and debugging tools. Now back to the demo.
Thanks, Gabriel. Tracking session information is helpful, but we want to know a lot more. We want to know what features are being used and how they're performing. To do this, we'll first add an extended attribute to meter each time a particular method, in our case addTweet, is invoked. This is referred to as tick feature tracking, and all we need to do here is give it a name. But for the showOptions method, we want to really drill down to not only track frequency, but also duration and stability. To do this, we need to add both a start and a stop attribute using the same feature name. Now a message is sent when users enter this dialog and another when they exit. The pairing and analysis of the SOAP packets occurs at the receiving end of this information. But we're done. Now we simply build the project and Docuscaler will use the custom and extended attributes to inject the monitoring and communication logic directly into our assemblies. As we view the build dialog, we can see setup, teardown, and all of our methods have been instrumented.
The Witty application is now instrumented for session and feature monitoring and includes an opt-in switch. Because all of this is done post-build, this approach is well suited for beta, software evaluations, and creating your own full-blown customer experience improvement program for your production users. Now, let's look at the data we can generate.
Let's first run our Witty application with Fiddler to watch the HTTP traffic cross the wire. We can see that we have data going to the runtimeintelligence.com endpoint that we selected. You can also see that this data is not encrypted. The encryption option is not included with the community edition, but SSL support is included with the Docuscaler commercial suite. So we can inspect these packets to see the runtime data, and when I close the application, you'll see a flush of data indicating a stable exit. So now we're able to stream runtime data to any endpoint, but now what can we do with it? I'm going to go to free.runtimeintelligence.com, the community edition version of our RIS portal, and I'll log in using the business ID that we had instrumented into our application at the start of this video. Note, there's no password here. The free runtime intelligence portal is not to be used for any production use. It is strictly a sandbox where you can validate that your application is sending data and perhaps as an inspiration as what can be done with that data should you want to write your own endpoint. We cannot make any guarantees that this service will be available when you need it or that data sent will be saved. It is strictly for discovery. With that disclaimer out of the way, let's log in. Now the first page shows us pending data for our application. As an analytics engine, incoming signals must be validated, normalized, and run through a variety of analytic functions. Pending data, this page shows incoming data streams that have not yet been through this process. The first report we're going to look at summarizes general application usage across two versions of Witty, one running on a thick client and the other inside Azure. We can further filter this report by any specific application version, the .NET framework it's running under, or the operating system. Here we see relative adoption stability across three versions of Witty in total and over a period of time. In this view, we're comparing feature use and stability within and across multiple versions of Witty. And again, we can apply the same filters. And of course, for the next level of detail, we offer tabular reports that provide real precision data.
Sebastian has just given you a quick tour of the Community Edition Runtime Intelligence Portal, which is available to any Visual Studio 2010 user. Its strengths are that it can provide immediate feedback on your application's stability, performance, and usage in production. He also demonstrated a peek into what our commercial runtime intelligence service can provide, but it's just a peek. At the end of the video, we'll be providing additional options if you'd like to evaluate the commercial portal that includes a wider spectrum of reports and dashboards, as well as a RESTful API to integrate all this data into your own systems. We're in the home stretch. Sebastian is going to address tamper defense and then give a sneak preview of some of the powerful Code Editor and Architect Explorer extensions that are available only with Visual Studio 2010.
Now, this is all pretty powerful stuff, and many developers will want to ensure that their applications are never instrumented or tampered with by anyone else for any other reason. This is why the 2010 version of Docuscaler also includes tamper detection and defense. Going back to Docuscaler, we're going to add one more attribute, tamper check. You can add it as many times as you like, and it will check for tampering each time. Even if an application is re-signed, tamper will still detect that it has been modified since it was run through Docuscaler originally. You can configure tamper to either send an alert, and or you can set it to automatically terminate itself in real time. Now another kind of behavior that Docuscaler Community Edition can introduce is around lifecycle management. When you release beta or evaluation copies, you may want to enforce an end of life or shelf life for these applications. Docuscaler 2010 also provides support for this behavior as well. Again, we just add the shelf life attribute, specify an expiration date, and the behavior we want to see after expiry. And then we're done. Now everything we have seen so far is available using the Docuscaler Community Edition. It does not require any additional software or registration. As Gabriel alluded to before, Preemptive Solutions offers a commercial version of all of this functionality that is in production today, not beta, runs inside not just Visual Studio 2010, but also Visual Studio 2005 and beyond, and any .NET framework 1.1 and above. Here's a quick cheat sheet comparing today's commercial suite to what's coming inside Visual Studio 2010 inside the Community Edition for free. The first thing to point out here is what is included with Visual Studio 2010. All of the data types shown so far are included. All of the opt-in hooks are included. The transmission of tamper and shelf life alerts and auto exit are also included, and you can select where you want your signals to go. Now, the commercial SKU adds SSL encryption, includes additional attributes that can pull everything that WMI can pull, about each system, each session, from screen resolution to the kind of jump drive they had plugged in at the time your application was running. You can define custom fields in the commercial edition to pull application data. You can specify custom behaviors around tamper and shelf life. And of course, we offer a fully supported and expanded runtime intelligence service portal with a RESTful API that makes it easy to pull fully processed analytics into your CRM, application lifecycle management, or ERP systems as well. However, because of Visual Studio 2010's new extensibility framework and tools like Architect Explorer, there are some very, very powerful things that you can do only with 2010. And here's a sneak preview. Switching to Architect Explorer, we see WIDI in an entirely new way. The color coding of each node represents relative code coverage for each method. The size of each node represents the relative usage of those same methods in production. A large red method identifies heavily used code with substandard code coverage. Essentially, this is a heat map, actionable intelligence. Now, we have further extended Architect Explorer in this case so that the developer can simply select the method, in this case, ignore user, to launch the code editor inside Visual Studio. Inside the code editor, we can see our next extension, a custom margin developed with Visual Studio Extensibility SDK. Here you can see markers that indicate which methods have been instrumented by Dobfuscator to stream runtime intelligence data. Left-click on a marker navigates to the corresponding method. The developer can right-click on our marker to view runtime usage of this method in line. This graph is an editor adornment developed with the Visual Studio Extensibility SDK. The graph itself is produced with the WPF Data Visualization Toolkit. Here we see two graphs. The first graph is showing the usage of this particular method by month. The second graph is showing the relative distribution of this method's parameter, ignore user type. Now the developer is armed with concrete evidence that shows not only how often a method is being used, but also which methods are being dynamically invoked from inside this code. It should be noted that while the Architect Explorer and the first code editor graph examples can be generated with the Community Edition of Dobfuscator, the second graph that is using application-specific data would require the commercial Dobfuscator upgrade. Through the integration of Dobfuscator and Runtime Intelligence with Visual Studio 2010, we can see how developers can produce high-quality, high-value software leveraging both existing expertise and emerging technologies.
So, whether you're building traditional server, desktop, or mobile .NET applications, or moving to Azure or Silverlight, what Microsoft has done with Visual Studio 2010 is nothing short of addressing one of the great obstacles to effective user-centric and value-driven design. That is the ability to gather credible runtime intelligence across application components and surface that intelligence in context inside Visual Studio or other products. If you'd like to learn more or take a shot at instrumenting your applications with runtime intelligence today, go to the URL www.preemptive.com/10-4. We'll also offer you a chance to participate in a free 3-part competency training that includes a deep dive into all the juicy technical stuff behind the product that you saw today. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me at gabriel@preemptive.com. I want to thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.